Support for the New Hampshire News Recap comes from you, our listeners, and from the University of New Hampshire, where the Center of Excellence for Operational Ocean and Great Lakes Mapping, dedicated to advancing ocean exploration and promoting public and private partnerships, is now under construction. Learn more at unh.edu.
This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Town meeting season is well underway in New Hampshire, and voters across the state casting their ballots on a number of local issues this week. NHPR's senior political reporter Josh Rogers was out and about on Tuesday when many communities were holding local elections. Morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
What'd you hear from voters? What's the mood like?
Well, I was mostly in Londonderry, and there full-day kindergarten was on the ballot and very much on voters' minds. It did win adoption. It had been serially rejected in Londonderry, which makes that community a real outlier. And apart from Goffstown, New Boston, that SAU, Londonderry is the only school district in the state without full-day kindergarten right now. And despite the vote to make it happen soon, there were some real divides based on what I heard from voters. Not really over the merits of such a policy, but really over anything that carries a specter of costing more money. And in that way, what went on in Londonderry is, I would say illustrative of tensions you can see across communities, climbing property values, a tight housing market. Tax pressure is high, and several voters told me they feel, they're feeling taxed out and don't feel town leaders and state lawmakers in Concord really get that. And, it's interesting to hear in Londonderry, it's a community where both Speaker of the House, Sherman Packard, and State Senate President Sharon Carson live. So it's an interesting place to consider state versus local fiscal issues. And one thing that definitely did help boost this kindergarten was that it's probably not going to add much to cost. Prior proposals that had failed in Londonderry did that.
Now, there was also a special election this week for a New Hampshire House seat representing Carroll County. Democrat Bobby Budman filling the vacancy left behind by former GOP Representative Glenn Cordelli. Were you surprised Budman flipped that seat, given the district historically tilts Republican?
Yes. This district does certainly tilt Republican. And when Bobby Budman ran for this same seat against Glenn Cordelli, in the last state election, she lost, I think it was by 14 points. So Tuesday's outcome, on that basis is a bit of a surprise. Special elections are kind of a different animal than a full state election. The party of the minority, in this case, Democrats, tend to really hustle during those. In this instance, both political parties absolutely wanted this seat. I was covering the Free State Project's Liberty Forum last weekend, and it was interesting to hear House Majority Leader Jason Osborne urge attendees to simply make your way up to Carroll County and knock some doors for Dale Fincher, the Republican candidate. So it's possible that he saw Tuesday's outcome coming, but, Budman's win doesn't much change the makeup of the House. The Republicans will still have 37-seat edge once Budman's sworn in, but you can see this as a proxy for political momentum. Democrats certainly are making the case that that's what it amounts to. And Republicans did plow a lot of money in this race to boost Fincher. And, it's one seat out of 400. It may be telling as we start to look towards November.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, relatively speaking, it's not going to change the balance of power, but is it indicative of what's to come? The New Hampshire House also met this week, Josh, to vote on a number of bills, including one related to local elections. Lawmakers passing a bill that would require voters to consider capping school property taxes every 2 years. Why are supporters pushing for this?
Well, Republican leaders in the House say the goal of this is to give the large number of voters who participate in November elections rather than the comparatively small number who turn out during town meetings and town elections to, really decide and shape local taxing decisions. That's part of it. I mean, the principal goal, though, is really to try to limit rising local taxes tied to schools. It's far from the first or only Republican plan in Congress aimed at that. Republicans have tried to give citizens more tools to propose lower spending at school meetings. They've tried trucking local spending caps into the state budget and to pass them as standalone legislation. This policy, which succeeded and is heading to the Senate, is really, of a piece with those. And, it's not the only bill lawmakers considered this week that gets at these issues. The House yesterday did reject a constitutional amendment that would have capped local spending at inflation and population up to 2.5% growth. But Republicans couldn't muster the supermajority for that. But they did pass some measures, smaller bore measures, dealing with default budgets and limiting what those can include. And, you know, the bottom line is Republicans are working to restrain local tax and spending decisions. And, you know, this now moves to the Senate, this debate, and the Senate's been, you know, they've less prioritized these bills than House Republicans have. So it's going to be interesting to see how these, where these go now.
Well, I was going to ask you about the chances in the Senate, what's going on there and the mood there for these bills.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And any word from the governor on that?
She's said she hasn't seen specific proposals and so hasn't weighed in.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else of note at the State House this week, Josh?
Well, it's a very busy time of year over there. It was 2 days of House sessions, 200 bills basically on the docket, kind of a sour mood, which isn't atypical this time of year, but lots of, you know, ill humor over who was to blame for the logjam of bills. And a steady spate of culture war issues, which didn't help things. More bills dealing with gender issues and bathroom use. The House did reject a bill aimed at barring people from China attending graduate school or working at state colleges and universities here, but also adopted a bill to bar the display of any flags at public schools, save for the American flag, the New Hampshire flag, and the POW/MIA flag. School flags are permissible, but none of the flags that you hang by your desk, Rick.
Okay. So all right. Let's talk about the civility in the State House. I know you were talking much about that this week. Is the mood different in the State House this session than it has been in past sessions?
Well, it's pitched these days. And, you know, there were some incidents. There was, an incident this week that actually drew a rebuke from House Speaker Sherman Packard, where Representative Travis Corcoran tweeted in response to an invitation to a legislative karaoke event, quote, theater kids, there needs to be a final solution for theater kids in the legislature. And, you know, the person who sent out that email, Jessica Grill, is a representative from Manchester, happens to be Jewish. The invocation of the final solution, which is, term Nazis use for genocide against European Jews, obviously very charged and offensive language. House Speaker called that out. But, you know, Travis Corcoran doesn't sit on a committee, so it's not like you get removed for a committee, which is a typical disciplinary tool a speaker might use. There was a Democrat, Wendy Thomas, who's been removed from a committee this week with no explanation. And, people are grumpy. The political atmosphere is raw. We're heading into an election. The middles of both parties have been sort of hollowed out. We live in an age where social media is sort of, poison public discourse. I could go on, Rick, but it's kind of ugly over there.
Yeah, well, the extremes scream for the attention. Absolutely. All right. NHPR's senior political reporter, Josh Rogers, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can find all of our political coverage and more of Josh's reporting online at nhpr.org. Now, Merrimack has also held its town meeting this week. The town has been in the spotlight the last 2 months following a proposal to build an ICE detention center there. But those plans have been scrapped for now. NHPR's Kate Dario attended Merrimack's deliberative session this week, and she joins us now via Zoom. Morning, Kate.
Morning, Rick.
All right, Kate, so set the scene for us. What happened to the town of Merrimack?
Yeah, so basically I've been reporting on this for 2 months, and it's been 2 months of chaos. You know, this issue, this proposed ICE facility has been really top of mind for both local officials and for residents. So I went to the town meeting to see kind of how people were feeling. You know, it's only been a few weeks since it was announced that this facility was not coming. And basically at the meeting this week, the issue pretty much seemed to be in the rearview mirror for just about everyone. You know, people I spoke with, basically everyone said they didn't want it to come. They were glad it didn't come and they were ready to move on. The meeting really felt like business as usual. No one was bringing it up during my hours there. Some people I spoke with said that they had hoped maybe that all the energy that the town kind of put into this issue from December through February would be reflected in more engagement at the town meeting. But I can say, you know, there were far more empty folding chairs on the meeting on Wednesday night than there were voters. So it did not really seem to be a town that had been, you know, radically transformed by this kind of brief moment in the national news.
Okay, so the town kind of back to business as usual. Did anything of note take place then that anything take place of note?
Not particularly. I think in some ways the absence of anything of note happening was what was interesting to me. And, you know, just as someone who's been reporting on this story for a while, I was surprised to kind of feel like it, you know, was not something that was still on voters' minds because it had been so dominant in the town for so long.
Sure, yeah, folks just feeling like, okay, well, maybe that battle is over and on to the next. Do you still have questions about what happened in Merrimack, though, with this proposed ICE facility?
I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainty kind of about how any of this happened. You know, DHS throughout this process was incredibly opaque about their decision making. And, you know, Governor Ayotte, you know, she also was hard to understand exactly her position. You know, what kind of conversations happened between the governor and DHS to, you know, stop this facility from coming. So I think that there's still a lot of curiosity about that. If we'll ever get those answers, I'm not sure, but definitely something people are thinking about.
Let's turn to some of your other reporting from this week. Communities across New Hampshire, Cade, saw some snow melt as we saw that spike in temperatures midweek. You know, melting snow and rain means an increased risk of flooding. So how should folks be preparing for that as we get into spring?
Yeah, I think one way people can prepare is just by understanding the risk of flooding. Springtime, as you mentioned, sees a high risk, but there's different types of flooding. And this year in particular, conditions mean that different types of flooding have different levels of risk. So typical inland flooding, which is basically when rivers kind of overflow, that risk is actually really low this year because of the ongoing drought. You know, water from snowmelt and from rain is more likely to fill up local bodies of water like ponds or wetlands before it will get to rivers and overflow them. Something that is more of concern this year are ice jams, which are caused by melting ice, and basically they cause a jam and can have the water rise very quickly. And the reason why those are more of concern this year is there's a lot of ice, and obviously it is melting right now, and you don't need as much water in a river to cause an ice jam. They can come about very rapidly and they're hard to predict. So that's just something that people across the state should be aware of, because there's a lot of ice on every river in the state.
Sure. And a lot of, we had a cold winter, and a lot of folks near living near rivers certainly know this drill here. And I certainly was checking on my sump pump this morning before I left for work. So the majority of the state has been in drought, as you said, Kate, this winter. Does all, you know, how does all this melting snow help with these conditions? Since we did have a good snowpack this winter, are we out of drought?
Yeah, so I find this really interesting, because the answer is the melting snow helps, but not enough to fix the problem, which I think is surprising, because exactly what you said, that there is thick snowpack around the state, but that actually only stores a couple of inches of precipitation once it melts, and we have accrued quite a water debt since this drought has been going on since the late summer, and there just isn't enough water in the snow to fix it. So in order to fix the drought, we kind of need two things to happen. We need the snow to melt, ideally slowly, so that it can saturate the soils without overwhelming them and ending up as runoff. Right. And then also, kind of after all the snow melts, nice consistent soaking rain, again, to penetrate particularly the groundwater and help us make up that deficit. Sure. So right now, people are predicting the drought could last for a couple more months.
Okay, so not completely out of it. It's helping. And, you know, if we have some snow slow melting, great. We do have some rain on the way for next week. We'll see how things go. NHPR's Kate Dario, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Find more of Kate's work, by the way, and all the stories that we talked about this morning at nhpr.org. We're here next Friday with another recap as well. And Morning Edition continues. I'm Rick Anley. This is NHPR.